Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bourque-Sanquito. Today we're looking at trends in industrial real estate with George Kutrow and Chad Bucher from JLL's Chicago team. George and Chad also co-host JLL's Chicago Industrial Real Time podcast. Welcome, George and Chad.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So, according to JLL's recent research, 2019 is considered to be a transition year, and I was wondering why is that, and what are the expectations for growth going forward?
Well, Sarah, this is Chad Book. We think 2019, we're cautiously optimistic. We have a lot of kind of macro-level uncertainty around the globe, but the fundamentals are still really healthy for industrial. Driven by consumer consumption, e-commerce, and supply chain innovations. But it is a long economic cycle, and we've had several years of positive net absorption across the markets. But then again, we have trade wars and things moving around with interest rates, which are causing for some concern.
In addition to that, Sarah, it's just that this long growth is really driven by e-commerce. E-commerce has changed the supply chain cycle and how people store goods. Traditionally, it's a hub and spokes program where you have these large DCs, maybe 1, 2 to 5 across the country, and then they might feed smaller ones. But with e-commerce and the need for people to have goods faster, you're seeing a lot more smaller-sized distribution centers spring up at the infill locations where the major population nodes are. So we're seeing a lot more demand in that smaller size, caught under 500,000 square feet, that's really driving today's numbers.
So all major industrial markets appear to be in the peak phase of the real estate cycle. What do you think that's really telling us?
You know, that's a great question. Really, when you say peak, because this cycle is really the longest growth cycle we've had, is this truly peak? We're seeing our numbers are still steadily climbing, a lot of, not as fast or as quickly as they are in the past, but we really don't see many signs of things slowing down. Construction levels across the board are up in terms of deliveries and what's currently under construction in the U.S., which means there's capital still pushing for tomorrow. So your question is, are we at the peak? Maybe, but we're still seeing a lot of fundamentals saying that we're not.
Here we continue to see record low cap rate ranges, and in some markets, vacancy is so low in the single digits that users really can't find additional space to grow their business, which is a constraint on productivity. And we see on the capital market side that there continues to be demand for investors to buy vacant speculative shell buildings and take on the leasing risk. So people are still quite optimistic about things.
Great. And why are we seeing more activity in the smaller and mid-size segments rather than in the big box segment?
Well, I think a good thing to point out, and we're referencing some of the information in JLL's industrial demand study. In many of these big box markets, we saw a lot of large corporate users go out in 2014 and 15 and 16 and really take down these million square foot fulfillment centers. These were long-term capital projects, and they went through a big wave of designing and building and operating these things. And so once that big cycle of deals has passed, we're now seeing these companies shift their focus, as George said, into smaller, some of these are e-commerce or service-related facilities that are filling in the gaps in their supply chain networks. So the big deals all happened a couple of years ago on the coastal and the core markets, New Jersey, Atlanta, Dallas, Chicago. And now this is phase two, or the second round of smaller and mid-sized deals happening in some of the secondary markets. That's Indianapolis, Columbus, Memphis, Denver, some of these other growing Sun Belt markets. that are also servicing for population growth.
And in addition to that, because we're having an extended growth period in our just how things are happening across the board, you're seeing these same companies who made the big splash in 14 and 15 are now looking at expansions versus consolidations, and they're looking to expand closer into infill markets, hence taking smaller spaces, which bodes well for the market because now you're seeing firms that are taking on additional space. In the past, they would consolidate and move into something bigger. Now the trend we're seeing is, in addition to that large facility, they're taking on additional capacity closer in, which is the bread and butter deals that our brokers do every day, but it's not the size buildings that people like to hear or read about because they don't really move the needle as much as a million square foot facility does.
Yeah, I think to point out from that demand study, the average maximum deal size that JLL was tracking was about 350,000 square feet. So that's a really right down the fairway type of deal, pretty good size, healthy requirement. But it's not in that million, that 750 to a million square foot range. And we've definitely seen that demand profile shift here in Chicago where our teams are working.
Right. And are you seeing any shift also in the trend in terms of speculative versus build-to-suit activity?
You know, with build-to-suits, typically it's something that's special use building that has an industrial application, but because of the interior of the building, it really bodes better for a build-to-suit versus trying to reconfigure a spec building, because at the end of the day, your costs go up. But we're seeing a shift in, and it's tied to how tight the economy is, in speculative development is by far, I would say, 3-1 or maybe even 4-1 in terms of volume versus build-to-suit activity across the board. There's more spec buildings being developed by far than build-to-suit activity, driven by distribution, 3PL and e-commerce driven.
I think another thing to point out on the build-to-suit demand is we're seeing users that, in many cases, some of them have a manufacturing component, or they have a corporate mandate to own their real estate because they're going to be there a long time. Some of these groups have simply been unable to purchase Class A and B product because so much of that inventory is now being controlled by large investment groups that really cannot or do not like to sell one-off buildings to users. So that's another, it's a smaller component, but in certain markets, these guys are out and they have really, their only options are to lease, even though for them it may have been make better financial sense to own that building, depending on how much money they're going to put back into it for infrastructure and an office build out.
And finally, Chicago, of course, is your hometown. Why is that city considered a bellwether market for industrial real estate? And can you talk about some of the latest trends you're seeing here?
Well, for Chicago, we're the bellwether for a couple of reasons. One, we're close to the center of the universe. We have all transportation nodes in Chicago. You've got the most Class 1 railroads intersect in Chicago, which allows goods to come in and out fairly easily. You also have the highway interstate infrastructure that allows goods to go in and out of the city very quickly. In addition to, we also have ports. We have the Calumet Port that allows goods to flow in via waterways. And then of course, you have O'Hare International Airport, where a lot of goods fly in and out of that facility, as well as Rockford. They're really seeing large numbers of goods, not just people, but actually commerce in the belly of these planes that are going. This is a destination point for redistribution going across the board. Secondly, Chicago's industrial base is diverse. We're not tied to one industry. We're not tied to the auto industry as much as like Detroit is. We really have a diverse product mix with all sorts of companies here, which gives you a better sense of that the market changes because we have this diverseness in our marketplace that allows us to be the bellwether because of that, because we're not just tied to one phase. So if we're doing really well, that means the rest of the country is going to do really well.
Yeah, we're not like a Southern California where we're largely dedicated to imports and local consumption. You know, we have about 9.5 million people here in Chicago, and so, and then within about a 1 day truck drive time, you can service about 26 or 28% of the U.S. population. So, the diversity of the economy here is very important.
George and Chad, thank you so much for your time today. And if you could just perhaps tell our listeners how to access your podcast.
Sure, our podcast JLL Chicago Industrial
Real Time.
It's available on Apple's iTunes store and as well as SoundCloud. And we also share it out to our network on LinkedIn.
Okay, great. And to our listeners, if you enjoyed the REIT Report today, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. And for more information on REITs, be sure to visit REIT.com.